Going Linux, episode 97, Computing in the Cloud, an introduction. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Whether you're new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will help you with valuable information and advice that'll help you in going Linux.
Currently, we create 3 episodes a month. We release listener feedback episodes at the beginning of each month and user experience episodes near the end.
Following the third Tuesday of each month, we post Larry's appearances on the live Computer America show.
In the user experience episodes, we take 2 months to cover a topic, first an introduction, then an in-depth look at the Linux operating system and its applications.
And in today's episode, we are doing an introduction to Linux and the cloud. We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Hey, Tom, it's been a while since we actually recorded a user experience episode. We've had, my presentation from the Scale Southern California Linux Expo. We've had a couple of Computer America episodes, a couple of listener feedback episodes. You know, it's been since January.
Yeah, well, you've been bobbing around out on the ocean, though, for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I was away on a vacation, and that's one of the reasons why some of these episodes have come out a little later than we normally do, but
right.
We're trying to get back on schedule, and we'll get there.
Sure.
But we're not missing any episodes.
No. We're not terribly far behind. And today, we're just going to do a very brief introduction to cloud computing, and we will be fleshing that out in the advanced episode.
You bet we will. So, Tom, what is cloud computing? That's probably a question we should answer for people, because although many folks may have heard the term cloud computing, I've run across quite a few people that know the term but don't really understand what it is.
Right, and I've run across people that think that it's everything.
Yeah, everything, every kind of computing is right. Cloud computing.
Right.
So let's take a definition. Well, the folks at CommonCraft, and they're at commoncraft.com, they do little 3-minute videos to explain things. And they've provided an excellent video that we'll include a link to in the show notes that explains cloud computing in plain English. And to put it in one sentence, cloud computing is simply a software program that runs from a computer that's on the internet rather than from your computer. Usually you'll get to that internet-based program using your web browser, but not always.
Yeah, for instance, if you were using a word processor such as OpenOffice Writer, you would be running that on your own computer. And if you're using Google Docs to write and keep your documents, that's on the cloud.
Right.
And other examples, Google Docs is one example of cloud computing. Zoho Office with Prism, which was suggested by Michael on Identica. Microsoft Office Online. Ubuntu One. Dropbox. And those two are very similar. And here we have free online office suites from a 2007 article. Google Docs and Spreadsheets. Think Free Office Online.
Yeah, these programs are great, Tom, because you can use a full office suite, well, mostly a full office suite, without having to install a heavy office application on your computer and take up tons of disk space in the process.
Right, and possibly tons of money.
Yes, depending on what you're using. You got
right.
It.
And we should say one viewpoint is that if you're using the cloud, you may be giving up privacy and the right to delete. And you're trading these things for convenience. So there you are, you're running your business, you're putting your documents out on the web somewhere. Are we really sure nobody else can see them? Are we really sure that these are not going to show up as evidence one day? It's hard to say.
Right. Well, you know, that right to delete, Tom, I've noticed using Google Docs and using Dropbox that they have a very convenient feature that they offer you that allows you, if you accidentally mess up a document, you can go back to a previous version. That's very handy. But that also means they're keeping a copy of every version of everything that you ever put on their service so that you can go back and restore it if you need to. That's great for backup, but what happens if, you know, they...
Sure, it's really nice of them to do that for you. But on the other hand, what if you think about it later and say, you know, that thing we were going to do, maybe that wasn't completely legal. Maybe we should drop that project.
Very good point. And yet there's a copy sitting up there in the cloud.
Right.
And I think in some of these places you can go and you can actually tell them to delete the backup copies, but are you sure it's really deleted? Are they keeping a backup of the backup?
And right now Google's policy is don't be evil. Right. But what if that's not their policy forever? Or what if somebody finds a way to punch through Google's security and go ahead and browse everybody's documents? You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. On the other hand, they do allow you to share your documents easily with other people over the internet and even with yourself between different computers. And you can do that sharing because you're using a browser to do your editing and your saving, and you access it from the internet. So you can use all of the features, regardless of whether you're using Linux or BSD, Solaris, Mac, Windows, or something else.
Right. It's convenient. We both use Google Docs. I use online Google Mail exclusively. The draw is certainly there. You've got these little niggling worries in the back of your mind that you have to think about, but in the meantime, they're just so useful and convenient. I have to use them.
Yeah, we both use Dropbox, and I've toyed around a little bit with Ubuntu One as well. Do they have the same problems, Tom? Do they have the privacy issues, do you think?
And more, Larry. Dropbox, once again, sort of keeps a history of what you've been sharing. And for those who don't know it, Dropbox puts a directory on your computer, and that directory also exists on their computer. So if you drop a file in there, it automatically uploads to their computer, and then you can share that file with anyone just by sending them the address of the file, the IP address. Or you and a friend can have a shared Dropbox directory. Really, really nice. And also great for sharing with yourself from your desktop to your laptop or whatever. Whatever's in that directory, that Dropbox directory, is then on all machines that you're sharing with. So it's great. However, as I said, it tries to be helpful by keeping your stuff backed up in case you accidentally delete it. But it also tries to be helpful by remembering what directories you generally pick files up from and put them in your Dropbox. For instance, let's say that you grab a file off of your desktop and put it in your Dropbox. Fine. A little later, you grab another file off of your desktop and put it in your Dropbox. Fine again, but Dropbox has been watching this, and it says, you know, usually when he wants to put something in his Dropbox, he gets it from his desktop. Why don't I just quietly get all of those files on the desktop and have them waiting? So
well,
one
that
day
sounds convenient.
Yeah. So one day, and this is an example, I picked up a file that was over a gigabyte and dropped it into one of my shared Dropbox directories. And instead of saying that it was uploading, it just said syncing, S-Y-N-C-H, And about 3 minutes later, it was done. Now, that was over a gigabyte in 3 minutes. I do not have that kind of bandwidth. So that tells me they already went and got it. Thank you very much for anticipating that, but it's scary, people.
Yeah, so they had already uploaded it. It just wasn't visible.
Right. And that's telling me that yeah, they can see whatever's in that Dropbox directory, but can they see my whole computer? Can they browse my whole computer? I don't know. Little scary, but too convenient to give up.
Well, until something comes and bites you, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, all of these free online, and some of these online things aren't free, quite frankly, but they are very convenient, that's right, for sure. And some of the things that aren't free, some of the online cloud-based office suites do offer a free version. I think it's Zoho Office that have a free version, but if you want all of the features or you want some additional capabilities, they do offer a paid plan for those kinds of things. And I haven't tried it yet, but I think Microsoft's online Office product is kind of a stripped down version of their MS Office that you would install on a Windows computer. And I'm sure that given their revenue model, that it kind of replaces some of the lower priced Office suite versions that they have had available in the past. And it's just, you can go ahead and use the online version, but if you want to use advanced features or you want to use some additional program components or something, you actually have to fork over the money, install it on your hard drive and use it that way. On the other hand, Google and Google Docs and Spreadsheets, which is kind of a long name. They've got more than spreadsheets, more than documents. They have a presentation application there and some other things. So they offer all of their stuff for free. And of course, their revenue model is to generate their revenue from advertising.
Right.
And, you know, using Google Docs, I haven't seen a lot of advertising. It must be well hidden.
I haven't either. They're making their money somehow. This is a very powerful company, and they're doing it somehow, so they're getting advertising. Maybe it's not from Google Docs entirely, or maybe it will be more. I'm not sure. By the way, both Dropbox and Ubuntu One are also paid. The minimal version is free, and you can buy more space.
Right. And the nice thing with Dropbox is if you refer other people, you get more space.
Right, right.
So up to a maximum limit.
You're doing the advertising for them.
Yeah. But for what we do, Tom, I haven't run out of space yet with the free version.
Well, if you kind of limit yourself, you why go crazy? I think
right,
I've
exactly.
got... Let me see. I've invited as many people as I can, and my capacity right now is 3.2 gigabytes. That's tons.
Yeah, sure. I think that may be the maximum, but that is plenty unless you're putting all of your movies and videos and audio programs and music and all of that on the cloud, which I'm not sure why you would do that, but...
Right.
Anyway, unless you wanted to share it with other people, of course.
And I've also noticed now that Google Docs has file sharing available.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When you first sign into Google Docs, right at the top it says something like, new, share any file. I think I can read it. Yep. New, upload any file, right up at the top in red.
Ah, yes. So you can upload files that aren't in... traditional Office format. So I'm assuming that would include music files and video files and things like that, huh?
I should think so. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, maybe we should try that out. And that's the other thing with all these cloud-based applications. As these applications add new features, they just appear. You
yeah.
don't have to install any upgrades. You don't have to download any updates. The new features just appear. And that can be great when they're features you want. It's not so great when they change a feature that you don't want.
Right. Hey, I liked it the way it was.
Exactly. especially with things like web-based mail, I've run across people who have said they just upgraded in quotation marks my webmail, and now I can't find anything.
Yeah,
can't even find my inbox. You know, and it's that kind of thing that drives people nuts. On the other hand, having a company that is actively developing their software and providing their updates and providing it for free and making genuine improvements, that's really great when you don't have to download anything. You just use the service and away you go. I know in my work, I've been using and deploying a cloud-based program for customer relationship management, which is software that our sales and service people use for managing interactions with our customers, like sales calls and service interactions with the customer and so on. And that's from a company by the name of Salesforce.com. And all of their application is on the web as well. It is a cloud-based service for corporate enterprise to use. And it's certainly not free, but it is definitely a prime example of where cloud computing is going in the corporate world.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Tom, I think we've covered all the basics. And in our advanced episode, maybe we can delve a little more deeply into some of the applications that some of our users might be using, not the corporate enterprise stuff, but more the office suites online like Google Docs, or maybe take a look at Zoho Office or something, and do a little comparison as to what the features are and maybe compare it with something like OpenOffice to give us an idea of, are there better features? Are there fewer features? Are there different features? How do these things compare? What do you think?
That sounds great. We'll be working on that in the meantime. And hopefully we'll have a longer, more fleshed out program for you folks next time.
Sure. So, Tom, do you have a software pick for us this time around?
I do. And actually, it's not software. It's Firefox features.
And, oh, nice.
I found two of them. And one of them is an add-on called Terminal Run. And what it does is, you know, you'll be looking at a web page about Linux, and you'll see that they have a command for you to copy and paste into the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you select that command and right-click on it and go down to the bottom of the menu, and there is Run in Terminal.
Hmm.
And it opens a terminal right now. It lets you know that it is about to run a command and gives you the option of hitting Return to run it or any other key to close the terminal. And so you can select a whole script that's printed on a web page somewhere and then right-click and click Edit Script, and it'll open a little editor for you so that, for instance, there might be things that weren't filled in. It might say some text here or some file here or your file here. Well, you would fill in the actual name of the file or the text that you wanted.
Yeah, so it has its own editor. It doesn't open gedit or something like that.
It has its own editor. And so when you've got a script that's incomplete, that's got elements that you need to fill something in, you can go ahead and do that and run it right from there. Or you can even save the script from there.
Wow, so it's got kind of a built-in help for scripting.
Right, absolutely.
Huh, interesting.
So try it out. It's Terminal Run. It's on the add-ons up in Tools. Click Tools at the top of Firefox, and there's that one. And then the other one, real quick, everybody knows that you can hit Control-Plus in Firefox, and your text gets bigger, and Control-Minus, and your text gets smaller. I found out by accident I was going to zoom in on some text, and I went to hit the super key and roll my mouse wheel forward, and I accidentally hit the control key. And that does the same thing. It makes the text bigger and smaller by rolling your scroll wheel.
Okay.
And with my eyes getting old, that's a big plus to be able to quickly make the text bigger and smaller as I need it.
Absolutely. And one more keyboard shortcut. So if you've zoomed in or you've zoomed out so that the text is really big or really small and you just want to go back to normal, Control 0 resets it to the normal zoom setting.
Control 0?
In Firefox. Control 0.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Control 0. Yep. It sure does.
All right.
You have any picks?
I have a pick. And that is something we've talked about before, but we've never chosen it as a pick. Google Chrome. The browser. I have installed Google Chrome on my laptop, and it is tremendously faster than Firefox. And I'm using it under Linux, and I'm not using Google Chromium, which is what they originally brought out for Linux. Okay. I am using the download from Google that is Google Chrome itself. There is a difference between the two. And Google Chrome is a little different way of looking at things. By default, it doesn't have the normal title bar at the top of the window, although you can change your settings so that it will put it there. The very top are the tabs, even above the menu. And actually, the menu looks a little funky as well. The URL bar, or the...
Location.
Yeah, the location bar, where you normally would type in a URL. And in Firefox, on the right-hand side, there's a separate little search window.
Right.
Where you can type in to search in Google, or you can change the search engine. Well, in Google Chrome, you only have one. And it functions as both your search and as the standard URL field where you would type in the location of a website. So Chrome figures out whether you're doing a search or whether you're typing in a website automatically. Kind of neat. And it is at least twice as fast as Firefox under Linux, for sure. I haven't tried it under Windows or any other operating system, but I highly recommend it. It seems very stable. One of its disadvantages early on was that it didn't have a lot of the plugins that you could get for Firefox. So if you were using something like an ad blocker or something like that, they weren't available for Chrome, but they are definitely available now. And many of the same plugins are available for both Chrome and for Firefox. So I heartily recommend it at this point. I don't know whether they're actually out of beta yet. Let me take a look at, see if they have an about screen here, about Google Chrome. Let's see. Nope, still says beta. I'm using 5.0.307.11 beta. So it says it's on the help screen. On the About screen, it says, Google Chrome is made possible by the Chromium open source project and other open source software.
How did you get to the About screen?
Ah, there's the little wrench icon over to the right of the location. Click that, and then there's an About Google Chrome about 2-3 from the bottom.
Okay, and you're using what version?
I'm using 5.0.307.11.
That's what I've got.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with it yet, but I'll get there.
Yeah, it takes a little getting used to, but it's well worth the investment in time to get the additional speed. It really is. I have a Google Chrome and a Firefox shortcut on my bar at the top on my Ubuntu. And if I click the Firefox one first and then the Chrome one, a Chrome starts up probably in about 7 seconds. Firefox starts up in about 15.
Right.
So it's about twice as fast starting up, and I've noticed that the performance navigating websites is faster as well.
All right. I have to figure out a way to import my bookmarks because I skipped that.
Ah, yes.
And I didn't find a good way to get back to it.
You know, I remember us talking about that.
Right. So maybe, and you told me
maybe
how.
I have chosen it as a software pick, but it's improved so much. It's a new software pick. Let's just consider it.
Okay.
That.
Okay, so what's up on our next episode, Larry?
Next one is listener feedback. So until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
Please email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. And remember, if you have a topic that you want us to cover on the show, please use the Podcast Alley button on our website to leave your topic suggestion while you vote for us on their site.
You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com.
You can follow our show updates on Twitter and Identica. We are Going Linux, all one word. And you can download the episodes from the website, or you can use the Flash Player to play them right there on the show notes page.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as the new episode is available. For instructions on how to subscribe to a podcast, go to subscribe.goinglinux.com, and subscribing is free. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.